in the team class can go ahead and be dismissed and go downstairs to their class this morning. Now that they're out of earshot, us grown up mature adults can stay here. Yeah, sometimes you feel excluded, huh? All right, we're in the book of Job again this morning, book of Job, chapter 22. Like the fellow said, I have to grow old, but I refuse to grow up. Job, chapter 22. We are on the third speech now of Job's friends. Again, each one of them, Eliphaz and Bildad and Zophar, took their turns on round one, almost like a tag team, accusing Job of wickedness and extreme evil that caused the punishment of God to be upon him. And of course, we know all the details of that, that it wasn't the punishment of God. It was God's permissive will to allow the devil to put his hand upon Job because of Job's righteousness. And so they went through round one, and if he spoke, then Job would answer. And they got frustrated at the end of round one because Job wasn't listening to them. That was their appraisal of it. They were trying to convince him, and they figured their arguments were pretty sound. And Job wasn't buying it. So round two came, and they became a little more harsh and a little more critical, a little more pointed. And each of the men spoke again. We've just gone through that second round. And Job again responded to each of them, and they're just not getting anywhere with Job as far as they're concerned. Job is not admitting that he is a wicked sinner that's done some tremendous sin that's caused God to punish him. And so now we begin on round three. That wasn't enough for round one, wasn't enough for round two. These people just aren't going to give in. The antagonists don't give in. Now that's just how it is. The Bible says, answer not a fool according to his folly. And the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly. You say, well, those verses contradict each other. Absolutely. Say, which one do I follow? Whichever one the situation warrants. There are times where it's just not worth answering the person. And there's times where enough foolishness is enough and you have to respond to somebody. And so you have to have the wisdom to know which one applies in which case. And the only way to have that kind of wisdom is to be reading your Bible every day and to be praying and talking to God and to be faithful to God in your Christian life and Christian service. If not, you'll take the wrong one at the wrong time in the wrong place, just like these three friends of Job are doing. All right? You say, what's their problem? They're taking right information and applying it at the wrong time. You can do the same thing if you're not careful. There's a wisdom that comes from above, and there's a wisdom that's devilish and sensual that's an earthly wisdom. And if you don't get in this book, you're going to have the wrong wisdom. And you're going to misapply scriptural principles. Scriptural principles misapplied are more dangerous than false teaching. Because false teaching can easily be identified. But scriptural principles taken out of context can cause a lot of more trouble because there's a little bit of truth to them. And these three fellows that are getting on Job now, they're dangerous because they've got an element of truth. A lot of what they say is right about God's punishment upon the wicked. They're just misapplying it to Job. And we've said that repeatedly. Job chapter 22, we have the third speech of Eliphaz. We'll notice that he will speak. In this chapter, Job will respond. Bildad will speak in chapter 25. Job will answer then, and Zophar never gets his round three in. He went home early, got rained out. I don't know what happens to him. He never gets his third shots in there. But we start with Eliphaz this morning in Job chapter 22. And Job is, first of all, going to make some accusations. Eliphaz is. He's going to make accusations of Job. First of all, he's going to accuse Job of being ignorant of God. The ignorance of God. They have understanding in light. This is their opinion. Job doesn't. And Job is showing his ignorance of God. That's their accusation. He's showing it by the way he responds. Notice what they say in Eliphaz says in verse number 2. Can a man profitable unto God? As he that is wise may be profitable unto himself. Can a man be profitable unto God? And so they're saying, they're talking about the ignorance of God's prophet. Does God need you? No. Does God want to use you? Yes. Eliphaz is gonna, he's so caught up in his earthly philosophy and wisdom, he'll ask some questions if the answer is no. He'll ask some questions where the answer is yes, but he thinks it's no. And so again, you've gotta have a complete understanding to know when he's right and when he's wrong. And so Eliphaz says, can a man be profitable unto God? He's saying to Job, do you think you are so such an advantage to God that he would not do this to you? Because again, they're trying to convince him God did it. And Job's saying, no, it's not God. And he said, oh, you think you're so special that God, when he punishes the wicked, would bypass you and not punish you? And that's where Eliphaz is coming from when he says that to Job. Can a man be profitable unto God as he that is wise may be profitable unto himself? Now he's accusing him of the ignorance of God's prophet, but the ignorance of God's pleasure in verse number 3. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty thou art righteous? Or is it gain to him that thou makest thy ways perfect? That's a good question. Is it any pleasure to the Almighty if you're righteous as opposed to being wicked? Is it any pleasure to God that you make your ways perfect instead of making your ways ungodly? Is it any pleasure to God? The answer he's coming up with is no. You can tell by the question he's insinuating the answer is it doesn't profit God and it doesn't please God for you to be righteous. It doesn't please God for you to walk right. But that's not the right answer, is it? You can already know that by reading other verses in the Bible. You say, oh, you just said that's not the right answer? No. Eliphaz could be right unless I have a verse in the Bible that tells me he's wrong. And I just happen to have a couple for you this morning. Look at Psalms 147. Psalm 147. Is there any pleasure? Does God find any pleasure in you to do righteous as opposed to doing ugly? Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Folks, you know what you're doing right now, but by being here in Sunday school, you're pleasing God. You're pleasing God. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to please him. You know what you're doing if you were falling out of bed right now? Or sitting at home reading your newspaper, finishing up breakfast, thinking about what to do for today, you wouldn't please him. There's a lot of folks right now that aren't pleasing him. And a lot of those folks, and this is going to be on record, a lot of those folks are going to come in about 45 minutes. And I simply say that. This is what pleases him. You know, this Bible Baptist Church is our church. If this is where we gather together, then it pleases him when we're here. And the church is gathered, and people that claim to be part of it are not here. It doesn't please him. They're just, you know, I'd like to water it and put it some other way to make it more acceptable. And folks, I would say this in the Sunday morning service for the ones that would be here then about Sunday school, but this is part of Job and we're teaching it in Sunday school. But I simply say, it pleases me to see the church full, but that's not what it's all about. It pleases the Lord. It is a pleasure to him. Look at Psalm chapter 149 and verse 4. So the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that for his pleasure we are and were created. And so Eliphaz is wrong in verse number 3 when he says, is it any pleasure to the Almighty that thou art righteous? Yes, it is. It does please God that Job is a just, upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil, as opposed to being a wicked, ungodly sinner. Yeah, it pleases God. Eliphaz's earthly wisdom is superseding his spiritual knowledge. And so there's some ignorance going on here, but it's not on Job's part. Verse number 4, the ignorance of God's punishment. Will he reprove thee for fear of thee? Will he enter into thee with judgment? And again, now we know the answer to this is no. Is God afraid to correct Job? Or is he correcting Job because he's worried that Job's going to become as God and like him? Was it in the Garden of Eden, God punished Adam and Eve because they took of the fruit, because they wanted to be like God, and God was afraid that Adam became like him, and his throne would be threatened? No. But there's a punishment for sin. Not because God feels threatened by your sin. You can sin the day you die. It doesn't harm God, so to speak. It does harm you. And he's saying in verse 4, will he reprove thee for fear thee? Will he enter into thee with judgment? Are you on equal terms with him where you can sit down and decide what your punishment's going to be? And so Eliphaz, again, is appropriately applying this one where he misappropriated the one right before it. So he's jumping back and forth. But Eliphaz is trying to accuse Job of being ignorant of God. Verse 5 through 9. We read about the injustices to people. He's going to accuse Job of some things, and he really doesn't have any proof of it. He's going to say things that he's shooting in the dark. Job, you must have done this, and you must have done that. He has no idea what he's talking about. And yet he's going to accuse Job of these injustices. Verse number 5. He's going to speak about the extremeness of the injustices. The extremeness, accusing Job of being a very great sinner. Again, Job wouldn't have argued if he said, hey, you've done wrong, you're a sinner. He wouldn't have argued. But the argument is extreme. You have done something so vile that you have brought the punishment and the judgment of God upon you. And in verse number 5, he says, is not thy wickedness great, and thine iniquities infinite? And now you and I, by New Testament theology, would say, yes, our wickedness is great. The heart is deceitful above all things, and wicked? No, desperately wicked. Not just wicked. So we would say, yes, our wickedness is great. He's not speaking in the terms of theology. He's speaking in the terms of practicality to Job and saying, you have committed some gross, enormous sin, and therefore God is punishing you by taking away everything you have and putting you in this position. Thine iniquities are infinite. Verse 6, he gives from verse 6 to 9 some examples of the injustices. Just as he talks the extremeness of it in verse 5, but in verse 6 through 9, he gives some examples. In verse 6, he says, for thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught and stripped the naked of their clothing. And you think he had any information that told him that? I highly doubt it because Job had never done it, but that doesn't mean there couldn't have been a rumor. I mean, somebody couldn't have said it because you know how those things work. But Eliphaz is just shooting from the hip. I mean, he's just coming up with accusations, and he proves them in verse number 6. He says, thou hast taken a pledge from my brother for naught and stripped the naked of their clothing. The meanness to the borrower. He required a pledge. Thou hast taken a pledge from thy brother for naught. And the retaining of the pledge at the end of verse 6. And strip the naked of their clothing. In other words, a man comes to Job and says, hey, I need something. And Job says, all right, give me your coat. At the end of the day, you come pay me back, I'll give you the coat back. The guy comes back at night, but doesn't have what he was supposed to give Job. And Job says, well, I'm going to keep your coat. That's a violation of the law of Moses. It had to be returned to him in the evening at the nightfall. This guy using this as an illustration of accusing Job of being unfair to the borrower, of injustice to him, of meanness to the borrower. And again, there's nothing in Job's background that shows that he did that. The second example in verse number 7 is miserliness to the needy. Thou hast not given water to the weary to drink, and thou hast withholden bread from the hungry. Eliphaz has no foundation for these accusations. He's assuming these things. He's assuming that because Job is being chastised by God and punished by God, he must have done these things. And so he makes these accusations against him. Being mean, being miserly, in the presence of the needy, the mischief to the owners, verse number 8. But as for the mighty man, he had the earth. Job, that was you before this happened. You were one of those mighty men and you had everything. And the honorable man dwelt in it. You and your cronies, you and your kind, you and the elite people, you had the world to yourself. The needy, the borrowers, you looked down upon them, you frowned upon them, you misused them for your own gain. And he's concocting a whole big scenario here.
and accusing Job.
And surely if Job had done all these things, there would be a just reason for his punishment. So Eliphaz is saying, you've done something, and I think I know what it is. Your mistreatment of the needy, your not giving water and bread to those that are hungry, that's what you've done, Job.
He says in verse number 9, he uses the example of his mistreatment of the unfortunate. Thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken.
I'll tell you what, if that was an accurate description of Job in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, he's getting what he deserves. I mean, if him and the big shots and those guys up there are looking down upon the widows and the fatherless, if they're depriving the hungry and those that are thirsty, they're taking a pledge out of those that have very little in the first place, yeah, that punishment was due him.
The only problem is, Job hadn't done any of those things. Notice what Job says about verse number 8,
thou hast sent widows away empty, and the arms of the fatherless have been broken. Look over at Job chapter 29. Again, we'll get to this when we see Job's response. And notice in Job chapter 29 and verse number 12, Job gives us his own picture of what he did in these regards. In verse 12, he says, because I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him, the blessings of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. All right, somebody's off here. These two things just don't reconcile with each other. And so either Eliphaz is wrong in his accusation, or Job is pompous and wrong in his claims that the widow sung for joy because of Job. And knowing what the Bible says about Job beginning in chapter 1, we know which side is probably more accurate. I shouldn't even say probably. We just know which side is more accurate. But look even in Job chapter 31 and verse 21. I mean, Job says he's done those things, and now he's willing to use God as his defense. He said in verse 21 of chapter 31, if I had lifted up my hand against the fatherless, and I saw my help in the gate, then let my arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. If you broken the bones of the fatherless, he said, if I've done that, let my bone fall from the shoulder blade. Let my arm be broken. Job is maintaining that in these areas where he's being accused of, he's not done anything opposed to what he should have done. And so Eliphaz, again, is just making things up. Don't be surprised when it happens. Don't be surprised when it happens. And remember, Eliphaz is not a wicked enemy. He's simply a miserable counselor. All right? He's Job's inner circle. And yet, now when push comes to shove, folks always remember this. You never know what a person can do from one day to the next. You know, we come into the congregation of believers like this, and somebody begins to fall away from Christ, and there is no telling what they're going to say when they begin to backslide or get away from God. A person can come in here and for years sing the songs and enjoy the preaching and give testimony, And say to the preacher on the way out, that was a great sermon. 5 years later, they got a knife for every Christian, and they're putting it right between the shoulder blades and the back. You say, whoa, what a pessimistic outlook. Sorry, it's reality. I've just seen it happen too many times. You say, what does that do? It means that when you're up here, you realize you better stay right there. Because there are some that are down here, and if you're up there, it's going to bring you down. If you stay right there, it's not so bad. That's what we mean. I enjoy it when we all get in here and we sing and we praise God and we do all, but I'm always conscious of the fact that a year from now, somebody who's doing all that stuff right now, yeah, on the outside, throwing rocks at those on the inside. That doesn't affect my treatment of other people, because you never know who that one could be or might be. And I'm glad to say that that's happened very few times in almost 18 years of Bible Baptist Church. But as you know, it happens a lot of times in a lot of churches.
And so you've just got to be careful. You've got to serve God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. You've got to love Him that way and not regard a whole lot of what other people do or don't do.
Just be faithful to Him individually. It's great to do it together collectively, but always remember, some of those folks aren't always going to be around.
And so Eliphaz is the one that now is
kind of turning his back on Job and accusing him of all these things. The accusations of Job, the injustices to the people. Verse 10 and 11, the inflictions for sin. The inflictions for sin, verse 10, therefore snares are round about thee. Therefore, again, verse 10, because of what Eliphaz says he's done in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, the treatment of the poor and the needy, the thirsty, the hungry. Because of those things, he said in verse 10, therefore, because of these things, Job, that's why you're sitting the way you are right now. Therefore, snares are round about thee, and sudden fear troubleth thee. Because you're wicked, that's why you're in this condition. Well, a lot of people are just going to nod their head and say, you must be right. Boy, Eliphaz is a smart guy. He's educated. He knows what's going on. And that's just, it sounds good, and it sounds right, and so it must be right. It's wrong. Job, snares around about thee, sudden fear trouble of thee, verse 11, or darkness that thou canst not see, and the abundance of waters cover thee. He talks about destruction in verse 10, snares round about thee. Talks about dread at the end of verse 10, sudden fear troubleth thee. Talks about darkness in verse 11, or darkness that thou canst not see, and a deluge at the end of verse 11, an abundance of waters cover thee. Job sitting in his darkness and with troubles overwhelming him and all of these things that are happening. And Eliphaz is saying, those are the afflictions for sin. That's the punishment you rightfully deserve. And your past is catching up with you. And it's a pretty hard guy. It's pretty hard. Even if it was right to stand in somebody's face and say that stuff, that's pretty hard. You know what you're going to learn? If you haven't learned it already? Even if Eliphaz was right in what he was saying to Job, being harsh in your delivery puts you in the crosshairs of the devil. Because the minute you get so self-righteous that you can judge and condemn somebody, you say, what do you do in that situation? You come with compassion, watching yourself also, lest you be tempted. You come with compassion and care to a person and say, hey, I feel sorry for you. I am praying for you. You know, it's not time. You know, search your heart, look at God, He'll be there for you, and let God take care of that. Because the minute you get harsh on that, one of these times it's going to get turned around. You're going to be on the receiving end. It might be on the chastisement of God, not for any sin in your life, like Job. And then they're going to be there saying, I remember when I was in that spot. And so we need to be careful. The inflictions were seen, verse 12 and 14. The insulting of God. He's accusing Job, again, of insulting God. He's not, in verse 12, is not God in the height of heaven? And should the height of the, and behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. And thou sayest, how does God know? Can he judge through the dark cloud? First of all, read all of Job's words from the beginning till now. You won't find that quote in Job's, in his mouth. How does God know? Can he see through the dark cloud? Eliphaz is saying, Job, you say that God's up there in heaven so far away that all these things you've done, verse 6 through 9, all these things you've done, God hasn't seen, and so you should get away with it? Job, I want you to know that you have insulted God by your actions and things. He doesn't know what's going on. Here's an element of truth. The wicked think that God doesn't see them. The wicked think that God's afar off and doesn't know every activity they're committing. But Job is not in that condition. So the insulting of God is not something that Job is guilty of. He says in verse 14, thick clouds are a covering to him, and he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. God is off up there, you know, like Elijah said of the gods of Baal. You know, perhaps he's off in a journey somewhere. Eliphaz is saying to Job, you think God's like that kind of God, that he's up there busy about stuff up there and doesn't see what you're doing, and so you shouldn't be suffering for all these injustices you've done. That's an insult to God, Job. Now, there's an insult to God taking place, but it's not on Job's part. Verse 15 to 20. Involvement with evil. Eliphaz is accusing Job of being involved with evil. Again, he's giving him all these accusations and arguments as to why God's judgment is upon him. And Eliphaz, in most of these cases, is right that if someone had done these things, the afflictions of God would be upon them.
and it is of all but of evil, verse number 15, begins by talking about the pondered way. Hast thou marked the old way which wicked men have trodden? He's saying, Job, haven't you watched people in the past? Haven't you seen that men's wickedness always catches up with them? And though outwardly it looked like you were prosperous and doing good and treating everybody well, now we now know that behind the scenes, here's what you're doing to the needy, the hungry, the fatherless, the widows, all that kind of stuff. And haven't you seen, haven't you pondered before that the paths of wicked men always come back upon them? So he's accusing Job of his involvement with evil, of dealing with wickedness and not considering the fact that practical lessons and history teaches him that the wicked always comes, the wickedness always comes back on the head of the wicked. 16, the punished way, which were cut down out of time, whose foundation was overflown with a flood. Seems to be a reference to the flood of Noah's day, saying that there's some men that were cut down in that time. There's some men that were wicked and ungodly, and don't you know by looking that the wicked men always get cut down, they always get punished for the error of their way. Verse 17. The profane way. They said unto God, depart from us. And what can the Almighty do for them? You know, profaning the name of God in the Bible is not using four-letter cuss words. Profaning the name of God is somebody with a t-shirt that says, there is no God. Profaning the name of God is comparing God to anything immaterial. By belittling him, by speaking against him, in whatever subtle manner it might take place. That's profaneness.
Well, I'm not profane. I have a clean tongue and a clean mouth and a clean mind. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior and you've got antagonism against God, you're a profane person. Because God is clean and pure and holy. And if you're not in line with that, you're dirty. And you're profane. And Job is being accused by elements of being like that. Saying unto God, depart from me. Now Job has said something about God not beholding him. He feels like God, but you know, God, turn away from me, turn your wrath away from me. But it's not about his wickedness. Verse number 18, the first part, he talks about the prosperous way. That he filled their houses with good things. Again, here's what Job talks about. And in next, some of these statements now, he's kind of stealing what Job said in the previous chapter, chapter 21. Remember Job talking about the wicked prospering to the day of their death? And he says to them, he said, God cuts them off even though they say to God, you know, depart from us, yet, in verse 18, yet God fills their houses with good things. Sometimes they still prosper. Sometimes they still benefit. But he says at the end of verse 18, the counsel of the wicked is far from me. The parting way. Eliphaz says, I see the wicked living. I see them prospering. I see them getting these things, mistreating other people. And many times the judgment doesn't come back. I'm still going to separate myself from them. That's a good thing. Eliphaz says, I don't care how the wicked prosper. I'm still separating myself. I'll depart from their way. Again, Eliphaz is mixing a little bit of truth with a lot of error. He talks about in verse 19 and 20, the pernicious way. The righteous see it and are glad. The innocent laugh them to scorn. Whereas our substance is not cut down, but the remnant of them the fire consumeth. We that are not wicked don't have as much as the wicked do. The wicked's end is cut off, and we that get by with little continue to have. That's what Eliphaz is saying to Job. I didn't have as much as you had when you were wicked. Now you've got nothing, and I've got more than you had, though compared to what you had before, I didn't have as much. See where we're going? And at least I stay constant. My wealth isn't great, but it's not poor, but it stays constant. You had it when you were wicked. Now in the end, it's cut off, and at least I'm staying constant in what I've got. And again, there's good truth in that. For you and I that are saved people, not to envy the wicked with what they've got, because one day it'll be cut off. We might subside in this life on less than what is not, but ours will be constant in the end, richness and blessing. But Eliphaz is misapplying this to Job. in verse number 21 to 30. It's the advice for Job. The advice for him. Verse 21, he talks about the changes that Job needs to have. Job, you want to get out of this situation. You want to get out of these trials. You want to get out of this ill health. Verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Reconciliation with God. You want everything to be all right, Job? Get right with God. Again, the proper statement misapplied to Job. Backslidden from God, get right with God. Out of the will of God, get right with God. No peace in your heart. That's what he's talking about in verse number 21. Be at peace, not right with God, get right with God. It's a simple solution. And this is one of those simple things that people want to make complex. I've gotten away from God, what do I do? Get right. Well, how do I do it? Get the altar. Confess. Get right. Oh, but what about this? What about that? Get right with God. It's a simple solution. Reconciliation with God. Verse number 22. Reception of the Word of God. Receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. One thing that will keep you from backsliding is reading your Bible every day. It will keep you from backsliding. You say, you're telling me if I read my Bible every day, I won't sin? No, you'll still sin because you're a sinner. But it'll bother you. And you'll come to the position where you'll either make a decision to set the Bible aside because it bothers you, or you'll set your sin aside because it doesn't reconcile. And you'll still fight it. But the minute you start putting the Bible down, that's an indication which side you're giving into. And the days go by, and a Monday, Tuesday goes by, and you haven't attended your Bible since Sunday at church. It's an indication on Monday and Tuesday which side you're giving into, your old nature or your new nature. Whichever one you feed is going to grow bigger. And he says to Job, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth, and lay up his words in thine heart. Verse 23, the first part, returning to God. If thou shalt return to the Almighty. Good sermon here on backsliding. Good points to the backslider. We need more preaching on backsliding. Man, just he's shooting at the wrong guy. He says, if thou return to the Almighty, thou shalt be built up. Returning to God. The end of verse 23, renouncing of sin. Thou shalt put away iniquity far from thy tabernacles. That's how you make things right with God. Putting iniquity far away. He says in verse 24, verse through verse 30, the consequences for Job. Here's what will happen if you do that, Job. Verse 24, the blessing of prosperity. Then shalt thou lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. The blessing of protection in verse 25, yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense. Thou shalt have plenty of silver. The blessings of piety, verse 26 and verse 27, living holy, piety. For then shalt thou have thy delight in the Almighty, and shall lift up thy face unto God. Verse 27, he says, they shall make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Verse 28, the blessing of power. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. And the light shall shine upon thy ways. We're flying through this for time's sake. One of these times I'm going to have to come and just preach this whole end of Job chapter 21, or 22, because this is good. The blessing of philanthropy. There's a good big word. Verse 29 and verse 30. What's philanthropy? Doing good things for other people with no intention of reimbursement. Verse 29. When men are cast down, then thou shalt say, there is lifting up. And he shall save the humble person. He shall deliver the island of the innocent. And it is delivered by the pureness of thine hand. This is a picture of a man that's right with God from verse 21 down to verse number 30. Getting right and being right. And it's a wonderful picture. But this isn't what Job needs. Job is already right with God. So sometimes those that are right with God still go through some difficult times. And we cannot take the circumstances as that alone being an indication whether or not their heart is right with God. There's a lot more to it. A lot more under the surface. And all you and I can do when somebody's going through is encourage them, look to the Lord. Let God comfort your heart. Let God speak to your heart when you're in this time, when you're in this. Don't think you, our problem sometimes is we think we have to have this magnificent answer like a lightning bolt from heaven that's going to take care of it. We usually don't have that. All we can do is a comfort. All we can do is bear. And if Job's friends would have done those things right there, he'd have been a lot better off. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, thank you again for your word. Father, may it just saturate our life. Father, fill our heart and our mind. That, Lord, we might conduct ourselves in a way that pleases you. Thank you, Father, for these wonderful lessons from the book of Job and all the things that Eliphaz says that without doubt are true of certain people in certain situations. Father, we're sorry that Job had to take this abuse verbally from his friends. Father, what instruction it gives us, what warning and caution it gives us, and Father, help us to take heed to it. Bless our morning service this morning. Meet with us, we ask, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we've got about 13 minutes till we begin our morning service.